Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance. It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. We got to stop having these kind of meetings, guys. I'm telling you.
Oh, no, these are fun.
You always seem to do it right before we go on the air, but, you know, it's all a good. Good fun. Well, that was Kenny. You heard. Got Tom Wolf, and we got our security ninja, and we got Tiny Behind the Boards. I'm Cliff Tanner. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Any shows, interviews you want to hear, just check it out. Go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And you can also catch Kenny at Twitter.
KennyBar52, and the 52 is in honor of my father.
And Radio Speed Talk, too. And it's funny you say that because we're going to talk about the racetrack later on in the show. We decided, I think, we're going to try to feature a racetrack that's regional and local around us, but we might as well start as our home track. So we'll start with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We're going to talk a lot about testing and the bad news about Danica Patrick. We have to bring her up, and as much as I hate to. And it has nothing to do with me dating her, guys. I saw that look, Tom.
That is bad news. He's not dating her yet.
Yeah, she's not jumping on the physical cliff. Yeah,
okay.
Not yet, anyway. But we're going to talk about that. We've got Do You Know segment. And I want to talk a little bit about a young driver coming up that I didn't know about, but I was reading some stuff today, and it's kind of interesting. But the biggest thing is, and we're going to talk a lot about this, and Tom and I talked a little bit, Kenny and I talked a little bit over the weekend about this testing going on, and I know Tom feels the same way I do about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. incident, and we'll talk a lot about that because it was crazy. And you know, I kind of figured the first day would be kind of boring, which it was, but, you know, the guys are going to learn. And the second day, well, that just turned out to be a fiasco. And the third day, well, a lot of guys were mad because they didn't get to finish, but we'll talk about that. But first of all, guys, I like the looks of the car. And it seems to me, other than what happened on the second day, it looks to me like most of the guys enjoy it because they're driving again and not worrying about the rest.
That's right.
Wow, that's why.
And
I
that's what I heard that it was going to go to anyway. That shorter deck lid is going to get less downforce on the car, so it's going to be a little bit more driver skill as opposed to let's get this set up perfect and all I have to do is close my eyes and turn left. So I don't know that I heard anybody complain about it.
No.
I've been listening to Sirius XM radio quite a bit and reading as much as I could and watching as much as I could. And they even like the looks of the cars. I mean, I've heard them called badass. I've heard them called streetcar on steroids, which was one of my favorites. And they really look like a takeoff of the manufacturer's cars, which is what they're trying to do, get that manufacturer recognition back and stuff. So it's going to be neat. It's I'm disappointed. I'm probably going to jump in front of your topic idea here, but I'm disappointed that they started to do the pack testing already. But
yeah, you're getting ahead of us there.
Yeah.
And, you know, which brings me to my point, and I want to start off by saying, and I try not to blast a lot of these racing venues or whatever you want to call it, NASCAR. Well, I'll just call it NASCAR. But I got to tell you, this has got to be, and we've seen, this it's now called the Gen 6 car. We've seen two or three changes in our lifetime, major ones, including the COT of tomorrow, or the COT, which was the car of tomorrow, which they just got rid of. But, and you guys, you know, let me know what you feel about this, but I think this, it was half-assed the way NASCAR went into this whole testing thing, because number one, they don't have enough parts for what may have, you know, somebody breaks something or wrecks something or anything like that, and it just seems like they're just trying to throw it together real quick instead of, you know, what they did with the COT, because the COT, they took a lot of time and everybody had the cars to work on that, but it just didn't, it just don't seem to be, and not, you know, here we are, what, 40 days from the Daytona, and we don't even have a rules package for the car yet. How can you, what's this testing even doing for us?
No, a lot, because you're going to, you can make your own parts according to their specs, which is what a lot of teams did, and they didn't make a lot of them because they're not going to be able to use them, but for testing at Daytona and Charlotte, I think the spoiler angle or size is going to be different for the different size tracks, so they're going to have different deck lids on them at Charlotte, but everybody made just a minimum of, if they couldn't get the real McCoy to go testing with, which is why I don't know why they even wanted to come close to trying to bump and draft each other, which is stupid. But I don't know. You got to do it. I mean, you made the decision. You got to go forward. You know, time waits for no man. You got to get things going. And they've made set these dates a long time ago. I don't know what the problem is with manufacturing and why they can't get enough done for all the teams and stuff. But I don't know that it was actually really stupid. And the rules package is, I haven't read anything about it. I mean, is it 80% done, 90% done? Who said it's not done?
It's not. It's not done. I mean, you know, they said that the entire weekend, but nobody, whether there's 60, 50, 40, 100, 90, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Did you hear, is it like, well, it's the same question under the different way. I hate people that do that. So I just curious, I'm wondering if it's just a couple of rules that they needed to fine-tune and tweak, and maybe they're waiting for the test results.
Trying to see what it is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I would imagine that most of the chassis are already built, that this test was more about the body issues, and I would think that most of them, you know, obviously have the chassis ready to go, so it's just a matter of NASCAR making the final decision on the bodies. I like the look of the new car, and I like the fact, you know, we were in Daytona 2 years ago for the race,
right.
And remember what happened with the car tomorrow. Those guys would go out and practice and bump draft each other so hard. Every time they came in the garage, the whole front nose had to be repainted on those cars.
Right.
And I kind of like the fact that they can't do that with this car. They can get to about 5 feet of each other, and then they hit like a pocket of air, and they can't really get up there to bump draft if they're going wide open. I think what happened with Junior and Ambrose is you had a situation where one guy let off, and obviously, you know, there's going to be an issue with that. But I think what we're going to see with this new car is the good old classic slingshot move from the 70s. So when they get a run on another car in front of them, instead of trying to bump draft them, they're going to have to wheel that thing out and go around them, which is something that we've been lacking on a super speedway, seeing some tremendous passing for a long, long time.
Well, and that's exactly what I said when this whole thing started. You know, way back when, that is what part of why NASCAR has lost so many fans. It's gotten astronomical price-wise, which every track is trying to, you know, bring that down. But the racing just ain't been the same. And I'm hoping that with this new car, the mile and a half that everybody loves so much, I'm hoping that's going to bring out some better racing as well.
I want to go back to real quick to your complaint about the testing. I don't know how you could test this car any sooner, because you've got guys running for a championship all the way up to November, and then they want a little bit of break, so you give them December off, and, you know, we're the early week of January. So that's why I kind of believe that maybe the chassis are ready to go. This was just a tweak on the bodies themselves. I don't know how you could test it any sooner.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about the testing part. It just seems like with the changes we've seen in the past, NASCAR had everything together and ready to go, with the exception, you know, you've always got to make a little, you know, a few package adjustments to rules, but it didn't seem like they give enough information out to the teams, because they're not sure where they're going. Does that make sense?
I guess I understand what you're saying there. But I really like some of the new features on this car, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, the what they call the shark fin that they use on the super speedways, which
right.
is that side spoiler that they use. It's clear. You can't see it. You can barely see it when it's on the car. And there was talk that they may even take that to the rear spoiler and make it out of Lexan so that the drivers have better visibility and can see a little bit better behind them. And it gives it a little bit, it makes it look more like a regular car than the old car of tomorrow did. So,
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I love the look of the car. I think it's going to come out, but I just didn't feel that NASCAR was as prepared for this car for testing as they have in the past. That's all I meant by
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, and they have, you know, they got rid of a lot of white collar workers down there. I mean, NASCAR's
sure.
trimmed the fat and stuff too. Now maybe they're going, oops, well, maybe we could have used the security ninja to do this rules package, and maybe Tom could take some more pictures and show teams where they were. You know, they probably are a little bit short staffed. It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Well, and that's probably true too. Excuse me, sorry about that. But it was still fun to watch. I mean, because you could definitely tell the guys had to drive, and you know, other than the fiasco, and we'll get into the drafting part of what happened down there. You know, one thing that did come out of the testing down there is Danica Patrick is not running the 500. She's not going to do the Indianapolis 500. Surprise, right?
Are you disappointed?
Not at all.
Well, that puts her within 2 hours of home. I mean, you wouldn't have to drive too far to find her.
It's not going to happen. She doesn't like the physical cliff.
How do you know?
My left leg weighs more than she does, dude.
I heard she's got this teddy bear thing that she likes guys that are built like us.
Is that what it is?
God, I hope so.
Where'd you get your inside dope? What's that?
Because of the start time of the 500, would she have really
time
to do it?
No. Unless you graced out of Indy and took off.
Well, that's part of it, and you know, obviously this is her first year, and you know, she needs to learn. But that was one of the funny things that came out of Daytona, and it was a tweet. And are you serious? Oh, okay, sorry about that. Out of Daytona was because of the new car that Danica Patrick actually has as much of a chance as everybody else because everybody's trying to learn this new car.
I know speeds mean absolutely nothing this weekend, but she was in the top 10.
Oh, so, she was. Mm-hmm. She was number 4 yesterday, and I can't remember where she was on Saturday. But
well, she wasn't in the big crash, so...
Well, it's just because she wasn't out there.
Well, that's, you know, makes it tough. You don't run out there and get in the middle of the crash, so.
Well, you know, and I was kind of surprised that they did that because from what I understood, most of the teams wanted to try that on the last day of testing. And, you know, they got a little bit ahead of that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But if you haven't heard, there was 18 cars that were bump drafting, so to speak. And, well, I guess you can't really call it. Yeah, they weren't really bump drafting at all. So I don't know whatever you may want to call it, but they were attempting to, let's put it that way. So I don't know, man. I was surprised to see that going on. And, you know, Dale Earnhardt hit Ambrose, and Tom, I kind of agree. I don't think he did it on purpose, but yet nobody held him to the fire for it either.
Right.
Because they weren't ready for it.
Well,
so, and we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah, lifted it up like a forklift, man. Picked that baby up and flopped it back down. And
well, you know, and that was one of the things he said is he matched up with Toyota fine, Chevy fine, but it was just something about the Fords that they're not going to do that. And I understand how that goes, but what do?
You well, know? You don't hit a Ford. That's what you do.
Well, we figured that much out. And you know, Marcus Ambrose, if I would have been madder than heck for that. But, you know, he just said it's all part of racing, and Brad Keselowski said some other things, but you know, Tom, when I was talking about you and I agree somebody didn't hold him to the fire, hold that thought, because we're going to come back. Again, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can catch us on Twitter at KennyBar52 or RadioSpeedTalk2, or you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Listen to Speed Talk. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Hey, there we go again.
I did do it.
I know. Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf. We got the secret ninja over there with us today. The what?
Silent ninja.
Silent ninja.
Yeah.
Okay. And we got Tiny Behind the Boards, Cliff Tanner coming at you. RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Check us on your local affiliates. Go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And Twitter, Kenny?
Yeah, Kenny Barr 52. Call me mid.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do
Aqua.
That. Aqua. Aqua. Radio Speed Talk, too. All right, we were talking about the testing going on at Daytona, and Tom, we were talking about how Dale got underneath Marcus Ambrose trying to see if they could push, and he ended up taking out 12 of the 18 cars. So I'm not sure why he did it, but and we'll talk about Dale here in a second, but I got to tell you, man, Brad Keselowski just, he never ceases to amaze me.
Why, what'd he say? I missed that.
He said, sometimes you learn best by crashing. He goes, somebody had to do it. And he goes, who knows? I mean, it could have been me. It could be me the next time. And he said, somebody just had to do it. I thought, wow, you know, that's classy. And it makes a lot of sense. But then again, when everybody knew, pretty much everybody else wanted to wait to draft, why did he do it?
Because he could. They ended up in a pack and they just tried it. You know, they got to find that ragged edge somewhere, and that's how you find it, by busting cars up, unfortunately. Because if you don't crash or spin or bump somebody like that, are you really on the edge? Are you really going as fast as you can? You just don't quite know. I mean, I know guys that are shaking down new cars that will go out and make them spin out and do some weird things on purpose so they know the feel of the edge. So. And there was a big article last year that Carl Edwards wrote that said, if you're not running on the edge every lap, get out of the car. Let somebody else drive it. So that's why they do it.
Which was surprising. He was the only one that had a backup car.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Yeah, I don't. It was it was kind of crazy to see it come out, but he got banged up a little bit. I don't know, you know, what happened or anything, but. He did get it out there, and he was able to stay. But pretty much they ended up, 10 or 12 teams went bye-bye.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't compete anymore.
Didn't have to spend as much money practicing down there, I guess. You got to find a positive somewhere because they were – and they're going to Charlotte here in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So they get plenty of practice time and stuff. So,
well, let's talk about that for a minute. Now, we know that nobody from Stewart Haas, had any issues. We know that obviously, we've got two cars left in the Hendricks camp, and the Childress camp was nobody was damaged. But when you take a look at the Penske camp, they lost both cars, and going into a Ford for the first time, not knowing exactly how that works, how much does that hurt them them, Kenny, really.
I don't know. You know, you still got wind tunnels. You still got that straight line testing we were reading about down at the Kennedy Space Center with that 15,000-foot runway that they can at least do straight line runs and tests on and stuff. I don't know that's going to hurt them all that much. You know, they still got the shakers they can use. They still got all the in-house testing they can use. And nobody really brought their good engines down, so they could be running another 5 or 6 mile an hour faster, which makes a great big difference when you're talking about the aero package on these things. And I don't know that it's going to hurt them all that much, really. Everybody had a shakedown list. Everybody had a laundry list of things they wanted to try with these new cars, whether it was a spring and shock package or whatever they were able to tweak on the body. I mean, they're still talking about changing the rules on the greenhouse of the car anyway. So
right.
They're kind of limited on what all they could check and test, but it took them 2 days or a day and a half to get through their list of whatever, and every team had a different list, and they got a different set of priorities and a different set of things they can do. So I don't know that it's going to set them back all that much, really.
What about you, Tom?
I'm just kind of wondering if they got enough time in the draft to really see what those cars are capable of, and if they'll schedule another test prior to the shootout to see, you know, to try and get them back in a pack again, to see if they can run that way and for how long.
Oh, I can answer that for you. The answer is no. They're not going to test anymore.
Testing is going to be practice next.
And the Sprint Unlimited is going to be the real test.
And so we could be in for some real wild racing down there with.
That's a
with
Thursday.
With a lack of experience, you
that's
know.
That's a Thursday that you call in.
In the car. Like
call in sick,
car.
And you got to stay home and watch the races.
Well, you had guys like Jimmy Johnson that, you know, he stayed in the garage and didn't go out when they were doing the pack testing.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see the different philosophies of the guys that were out there trying the drafting. You know, the fact that Carl Edwards was the only one that did have a backup car down there, I thought was interesting.
I find that weird.
Yeah.
I can tell you why. Because it's Carl Edwards. And Jack Roush doesn't want Carl Edwards to look nasty again. That's what he did, and I can almost guarantee it. But, you know, you're talking about a three-car team opposed to a four, so he could afford that luxury of having a third car,
right,
or the fourth car down there for him.
They got so much stinking money, they all could have had two cars.
But, Tom, before we go any farther, let's get your take on, you and I talked about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Do you feel he should have been held more accountable for that, or do you believe that maybe it was the right thing, too?
You know, having had a couple of days now to think about it, there's only two guys that really know what
kill
happened.
Me, man. I was really hoping for some...
Nah, you know, was it something that Junior did, or did Ambrose back out of it, and then Junior got a run that got him going? There's only two guys that know the answer to that, and that's Junior and Marcus, so... I mean, it's unfortunate that he turned him in front of the field, but I think Keselowski said it great. They have to test the car. Could have happened to anyone. Move on. But I'm just surprised that at least there wasn't one person that was ticked off that their car was destroyed and they're done for the week. You know?
Oh, I'm sure they were. We just haven't heard about it. Or the big red truck said, keep your mouth shut, or a fine coming your way.
And I'm guessing it was probably Jeff, because he's the one that should have been the maddest, because he just got in that mess. So, I don't know. It was kind of crazy. But we did see, and Kenny, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you caught this part, but I did see, because Blaney had that little crash, and then Biffle had the little wipeout, Greg Biffle. It appears, though, that side drafting is going to be real hard with this car.
Oh, golly, I don't think they even got close to trying that yet.
I don't know. They did. That's why they lost
the
control.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see them then.
Purposely, I don't think.
Yeah. I know that there's on the door panels, as they come down the side of the door, and here I am doing it again, talking with my hand on radio. It is great. Now, picture this, security ninja.
That's a great description with your hands right there for radio.
Here you go. Woo! Look at the door goes like this.
Wow, that's a lot of curse for a door.
I know it. Oh, that was a girl door. I'm sorry. But as the doors come down, they do flare out down at the bottom, which is something completely new. And that's going to stir the air up completely different. And there was such a thing as a side draft where you got close enough where it would actually suck up to the car and then pull you forward.
Right.
And Dale Sr. was the first guy to learn that. And that's when the See the Air moniker came to him. Now, I don't know how that's going to stir that up and if they really worked on that much or not down there at Daytona, but that the side drafting is going to be more interesting to me than the forward drafting and the clean air and everything.
I don't know, man. The one cool thing that I thought, and Trevor Bayh, the fastest car. I mean, is this going to be the new guy for super speedways?
I don't think anyone there had their primary engine or anything even near close to it. I think we could see speeds at about 10 miles an hour faster when they get back there to really do the testing and things like that.
You think we'll see that much more?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can I change the gears on you?
Yeah.
I want your opinion. Michael Waltrip jumping in Swan Racing's car to run the Daytona 500. Isn't that dumb?
No, there's something going on there.
Well, there'd almost have to be. The last thing I would be if I was David Stremme is want to let Michael Waltrip get in my car, my new ride that I just got with my new crew chief and my new everything, and let him go racing the 500.
I'll tell you what I think is going on with that, because I was going to bring that up here in a little bit anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Might as well bring it up now.
Okay.
Good as any.
Yeah.
But I could see what's going to happen here is if Michael Waltrip doesn't want to quit racing. We all know that.
And he's really good on restrictor plates.
He's good on restrictor plates, and that's about it. I think we may see, before it's over with, a half-and-half race season with Swan, because he wants to race, but he doesn't want to race and be a team owner and race on his own team. That's what I think is part of the problem, because we saw what that has done to him in the past. Is he gets in his own car on the super speedway and he wrecks within the first few laps in most cases. But I would not be surprised to see Michael Waltrip end up with Swan Racing at least half of the season before it's over with.
Well, he would be out there. If I was Michael Waltrip, I wouldn't be out there to win. I'd be out there to get Mark my two teammates or my two cars that I own. If I need to draft with them, or if I need to partner up with them, or I need to block for them, that's what I'd be doing.
And listening to what Michael has said in the past about Dale Earnhardt Sr. doing that for him, I'm not sure he would be able to do that. And I don't mean that psychologically wise.
Oh, sure he would. Heck, I would in a heartbeat. And that's what I was listening to Martin Truex Jr. on the way here, and he kind of slightly alluded to the fact that, boy, if I need a drafting partner, I know where to go. He's really good at it. You know, he's great on restrictor plates, and he's a two-time Daytona 500 champion, and I'd be seeking him out in a hurry. And blah, blah, blah. No kidding, I would too. You know, so I just find it kind of odd, quirkily uncomfortable. I wanted Stremme to win the 500. That was going to be my dark horse pick anyway. Now he's not even going to ride in the dumb thing. But I also heard that this whole thing was Stremme's idea, which I think is politically motivated.
Well, I mean, it's his boss. He's always going to say that. But, you know, also that, you know, if you look back at all the past restrictor plate races that Stremme's been in, he's usually gone within the first 15, 20 laps. So he doesn't race well at all for restrictor plate racing. So I could see that he may have said, hey, let's go to Michael. And, you know, and Michael's thinking, if I was a team owner, and I love to drive in restrictor plate races, if somebody else came and said, here, you want to tear up my car? I'd jump on it.
Yeah, well, how are you going to get any better, though, if I'm David Stremme? You can't get any better sitting on the sideline.
Right.
Get out there and mix it up.
Well, I totally agree with that either. Also, but I'm just saying that
that might be the thinking theory. You're right. I just found it ironic. I think I threw you guys an email and said, chew on this a little bit, because I think it's goofy.
It is kind of weird.
Well,
you know?
it's way weird. It is way weird. And when you had sent me that, I was reading it, and I'm going, I don't know. Maybe Waltrip's going to put in half of the sponsorship with him, or maybe he's going to become Swan/Waltrip Racing. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios. You know the games that they play.
There's a lot of partnerships and stuff, but it usually doesn't include swapping the owner-driver kind of thing around. So, yeah, who knows? We'll watch it and see it play out. You know,
what's your prediction, Kenny? What's going to happen?
What?
What's going to happen?
We're going to finish the show and I'm going home. Yeah,
well,
you
there
mean,
you go.
With Walter in that car?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to stink it up. He ain't going to do any good.
Yeah. Well, who knows? All right, folks, we need to take a break. Again, radiospeedtalk.com. You can go to Facebook.com/radiospeedtalk. And we need to take a break. You're listening to Speed Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana Water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Tiny, our secret, security ninja over there, slowly and quietly, God knows what he's doing. Cliff Tanner coming at you, RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny Barr 52. You can catch Kenny at Twitter, and I'll be on Radio Speed Talk too. We still haven't got Tom set up, but we'll be working on that. Well, guys, we talked a lot about testing. We're going to switch gears a little bit and go into some drag racing news. I don't know if y'all heard the news that came out of John Force Racing this week. Kind of threw me off for a loop a little bit. Have you heard?
I haven't heard.
Okay.
Fill me in.
He's still going to run four cars. His daughter is coming up as a rookie. So first thing you think, all right, what's going on here? What's going to happen? Who's getting fired? Who's doing what? He threw me for a loop because I didn't expect this coming. But Brittany Force, who's been coming up through the ranks, she is going to be racing next year, but in Top Fuel.
Wow.
He's going down to three cars in a funny car. And I kind of get this feeling as we make the announcements, and you guys can tell me your feeling on this, but Mike Knepp is not driving anymore. He is now going back to be the crew chief for John Force. And then obviously Courtney and Force and why did I just lose his name?
Who's the other Robert guy? Height.
Robert Height are going to be driving the funny car. And I was kind of surprised by that. I had no clue he even had a program set up because in all the times we've interviewed him, not once has he ever said anything about going Top Fuel.
Because the guy's a master marketer. He's not
going
to spill the beans
at all. Tell you?
He's going to have this gargantuan press conference.
I know, but usually they say that, not just me, but I mean, a lot of interviews you would think, you know, hey, we're looking at possibly going to, but all of a sudden, boom, and maybe some of the insiders knew that was coming, but it threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I'm sure the insiders did, but I think it's a brilliant move, and he's going to put Neff back to tuning his car, and Dean Antonelli's going to go to the Top Fuel car and stuff, who's been tuning it. John's car, so I think it's a really, really good move. Because he's still got the skills. He don't want to finish 10th or 8th or wherever he's been finishing the last couple 3 years. And I don't know I didn't read anything about Ashley whether she's even got any desire to come back or not.
Well, it has been said. Did you want to say something, Tom?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going
to
say.
No, I'm listening to you.
What it has been said that she wanted to come back, but then she wanted to have another kid and everything else. This brings me to my point. This is what I want your opinion on. Here's what I think is happening. John Force wants to win the championship this year. He brought back one of the best crew chiefs come to Funny Car. I think he wants to win one more championship. He's going to retire. Ashley's taking over into his car. That's what I think is going to happen.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that works for me.
Well, I love that.
I should love it. Just throw him under the bus. Well, he's right. He's got a good idea, and you agree with him.
That's like your color guy going, yeah, that was a good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shot. Followed through well, got his feet underneath him. Yep, it went
in. I got to tell you, I think the hardest thing I'm going to have with wrapping my hands and head and everything else around the NHRA this year is they've gone and called it the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. It's no longer the no, I can't remember what it was called.
Full Throttle.
Full Throttle, thank you. I don't know. I was kind of surprised to see that. But it's kind of cool. I'm kind of excited about it because if you really think about it, the last three or four years prior to the last couple, I should say, John Force has pretty much dominated the top fuel. And then you see guys like Matt Hagan won 2 years ago, and then you've got Fast Jack Beckman that won last year, both Schumacher cars. And it looks like, just like with Tiger Woods, when he went out and played golf, he dominated everybody, and everybody just rose to the game. Why not? I mean, because really, if you want to look down to it, who, Tom, do you think? I mean, I know you don't like follow NHRA as much, but who has got the dominance in the top fuel? It's the Schumacher team.
Yeah.
And there really isn't any too much competition other than that. I mean, I'm sure there's some guys in that series that tell me I'm wrong, but, I mean, they're just blowing everybody away. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens here, but
yeah, you get Force Racing in the mix, and they got gobs and gobs of experience. They got big piles of money, and how can you not have Brittany being a good driver with the genetics she's got? She's grown up around it. She's the second generation driver that we talk about here and there. She's also got sisters that, so you got a little sibling rivalry going on, and that's a neat story. And we all like John Force and John Force Racing quite a bit, and we'll see how that goes. I really hope that she puts it to the Alanabi group especially.
Well, we all do that, but as far as that goes, but yeah, I mean, and he is for owners that I've talked to in the past and even racers, he is probably the most fun and most class act, down to earth guy you'll ever meet.
We got to get a hold of him again. I mean, when he substitute interviewed, we happened to catch that one time. That was just great. And he was driving down the road, and they couldn't.
No, they just got him out of bed, I thought.
No, he was driving to Atlanta because they couldn't find. Robert Hike was scheduled to be on the interview. And they couldn't find him, so Ian actually called and interrupted the show. Said, "Hey, I got a pinch hitter for you. I hope he'll do." Then the next voice you hear is John Forrester going, "Yes, all right, this is going to be better yet." And Robert Hite's a great interview. He's a good guy to talk to. But John is just, he's just John. There's never going to be another John Forrester.
That's one of those guys I would like to do like an hour show with. Just sit down. It would take more like 10 or 12 hours. He would be a great guy to write a book about or just sit down and get in his head because – I mean, take a look at the guy. He started out as a trucker.
Oh, yeah. He's still a trucker,
Yeah, he drives his cars.
Remember when he told us he was – were you with us that day?
No,
I don't. That was a great part of that story. He said every once in a while a truck driver gets tired of him and says, "I quit. I've had enough of you." So he jumps in the truck, and he'll drive her. And the last time he did, he knocked both mirrors off within the first 10 miles or so where he was going. So they're mad at him because the mechanic's got to go hurrying the mirrors on the trucks to work on the race cars.
Yeah, he always said that, he watched his dad work his fingers to the bone. He said he was not going to do that. He started trucking and got into drag racing, and to first is history.
And what's he do? He works his fingers to the bone, 24/7 kind of thing. But very much 7 days a week. But yeah, that if we interviewed him for an hour, Cliff, that'd be the fastest hour of your life. It just goes so good because you're entertained and you're engaged and you're interested and you don't know what's coming next, so you got to pay attention.
I've got the ultimate show for you. John Force on the show with Kenny Wallace at the same time.
Oh, my God.
That'd be spooky.
Yeah, it'd be...
That might be a two-hour special.
That'd be a producer's nightmare. That's what that would be.
God, you ain't kidding, man. Well, what we wanted to do here is, there's some major announcements going to be coming down in the next couple weeks or so, and they're very excited about them, actually. And we're going to do some different things. And as we talk national stuff, but we're also going to start you know, talking a lot more about ARCA and some of the regional and local tracks and things like that. And I think what we're going to do, because Kenny and I were on the Balance radio show yesterday, and he started doing it, and we talked about it, and I think it's a great thing. We're going to take a few minutes of every show, and we're going to feature a local track and just a little bit of history about it, how you can, you know, contact them and stuff like that. And we'll work on that a little bit. And today, I think we're going to feature Bear Fields. It's right here in our backyard. Getting ready to start. It's 50th year. But I got a question, though. 50th year, that's not 50 years in a row, is it? I mean, didn't they have like a couple years of...
They were shut down in like 76, 77.
Right.
So the place has been there 50 years. So I don't think it's really its 50th year of racing, but it's the 50th year of being in existence. Opened in 1964. The same year that they closed down the Fort Wayne Speedway, which is was a 5/8 high bank racetrack out off of what was then California Road, and now Speedway Drive is the same location where putt-putt and stuff is on the north side of Fort Wayne. And they closed South Anthony also that year, which is down off of South Anthony Boulevard where the Lutheran Homes, I think, is. Anybody going to nod on that one? I think it was
close to it.
And stuff. So it was the only game in town at the time, and it was... I've seen some pictures, and I've got a couple of old pictures of the place where they had the light poles on the outside of the facility, and then there was a guardrail all the way around it. So it wasn't a matter of you being able to bump a guy and just kind of move him out of the way and roll him over the hill and all as well, and you didn't tear up a car. I mean, it was a tough place to race. Half mile, not a lot of banking, but enough that you could work with and stuff, and an awful lot of good racing went on there for a lot of years. They used to have a race called the Hoosier 200, which now they break it up into 450-lap features for four different classes. It used to be one class, late models, 200 laps, and it would draw people from 6, 7, 8 states. And they'd have to come up with some pit stop because they just couldn't get 200 laps out of those cars without at least refueling and stuff. And there were some big names that won that, and then the guys from down would come down, the hot shoes from Flat Rock and Toledo, and all the ARCA guys would come down. It was a really, really neat race. I wish they would kind of go back to that a little bit. They got a really aggressive schedule on the docket, and we're going to try and get John Rady on the phone here, on the show in the next couple of weeks. Maybe it will be a phone interview. We'll see how that all works out. And I don't want to steal any of his thunder, but he's got an awful lot of dates scheduled, and he's rebuilding the place a little bit, going to make it more fan-friendly, going to make it so that the tower isn't spooky to get up into stuff.
Spooky.
Maybe chase
dark,
the raccoon.
From what I heard.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Chase that raccoon the heck out of there and his family. But I'm looking forward to it. One of the reasons I actually got hooked up with you and the previous people that were in this show was because I wanted to do what I could do to help promote local racing.
Right.
And it, and on a personal level, I think the show's gotten really cool going national. But I'm glad that you and everybody has made the decision that we're going to do a little local stuff too, because that's where it's at for most people. And there's an awful lot of good racing and an awful lot of good racetracks, even in our little area.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about a lot of them. And the cool thing is, you know, you're talking about big names. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Sr. has been here, Rusty
yep.
Wallace, Mark Martin.
Bobby Allison.
I think somebody told me Pearson was here one time.
Lenny Pond was here. Yeah. There's been an awful lot of guys. And the two people who were the best historians for Bearfield have passed away, and I don't know how much they got documented and stuff, but I can remember the night that Rusty was here. He was just a poofy-haired teenager driving out of a car out of St. Louis, number 66, and he was here the same night Bobby Allison was.
I got his autograph that night.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Yep.
I remember that.
Do you remember remember him following Bobby Allison around like a puppy all night long?
Yep.
Oh, that was amazing. We were in the pits, and it was just like, it was what's closer than a shadow? I mean, he was right in his skin all night long, just bugging him and asking him a zillion questions.
Tell them real quick how they can find out how to get to Bearfield's website.
Well, it's on my favorites. I don't know what it is here. Bearfieldspeedway.net,
yes.
And they have pictures of the track champions on the front page, so you'll know that you got the right place. The schedule's on there. There's lots of ways to contact them.
Yeah,
how you doing on time?
We're getting close.
All right, the picture on the lower left-hand side of the modified is the one I worked on last summer.
There you go.
There you go.
I got to tell you, man, I'm looking forward to this change because they're making improvements and it's going to be cool. So I'm looking forward to it. But keep listening because we will have them on. All right, to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there anytime. If you need to take a break, you're listening to
Speed Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah. Now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
All right, welcome back to Speed Talk. Man, that's been quick. We talked a little bit about testing. We talked about John Force. We talked some local racing. And, you know, God knows we got all kinds of other things. Again, as we talked about earlier, stay tuned. We got some major announcements coming up, and we're going to see some changes. We're going to have some good interviews coming up. All kinds of things happening fast. You go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny is at
KennyBar52.
And I'm at Radio Speed Talk, too. And, yes, Tom's going to get one, even though he keeps saying no. But
I got an email address. It's on the website.
What is it? Go ahead.
He's stuck.
It's Tom@RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Yeah, and that's while you're at it. You can go to Kenny or Cliff or Tom or even Tiny at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Tell us what you think of the show, anything you want to hear, something different. What would you like us to do, not do? You know, and stay tuned because racing season's coming up. We're going to have some ticket giveaways and all kinds of things coming up. Like I said, tons and tons of major announcements coming up. And hopefully a lot of good news and bad news and good racing going on this year.
Well, so. I don't want any bad news.
Well, I didn't mean bad news like bad news, you know, like, you know, maybe Danica.
He meant good bad news.
Yeah, good
bad news. What is good bad news?
I don't know. Who knows? David Stremme wins the Daytona 500 driving
cool.
somebody else's car.
Oh, that'd be neat. That would be, in my mind, that would be interesting justice. So we won't call it poetic, but it'd be.
Oh, that'd be cool because he's an Indiana boy.
Somebody gets sick, he steps in at the last minute. Oh, that'd be cool as heck.
That could
like
very well
that.
Happen.
I'm pulling for that. Give me David's email address. I'll tell him to take his helmet and show up and make sure that he's ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure he will be there. Trust me.
I am David Stremme. Him and his Nomex and his. It's fireproof everything.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Well, it's that time, man.
Do you know we're going? It's a history lesson. You don't get a choice this week. You get a history lesson.
That's cool. We could always use that.
Do you know? Brought to you by WishForOurHeroes.org. Jeff Wells, the president of WishForOurHeroes.org, doesn't want your money. He wants your belief. Go check it out on the website. It's a well-oiled machine. I think he said what 95-96% of the money they collect actually goes toward. What it's supposed to go toward, and most companies
yep.
like that are like 81% or 82%, so the administrative costs are down, your money's well spent. They help military families that are active, who have ran into a snag in life, and they do a great job of it, and they do it all over the country and a couple of other continents. WishForOurHeroes.org. We implore you to go check it out. I have done this before in a different form.
Okay.
I actually have...
Professor Kenny.
Type this out a little bit. Feel free to interject and stop me at any time because I had so much information that I had to whittle it down and edit it and change it and get it down to a usable time frame. But one of my favorite old-time drivers was Curtis Turner.
Okay.
And Curtis Turner, he long before Richard Pettigrew was the king or Dale Earnhardt ever even intimidated anybody, Curtis Turner was out there, and he would really make those boys look like lightweights, like pussycats. I mean, he was the man. It's safe to say that Turner would not make it in today's politically correct NASCAR. So it's a good thing he was born when he was, which was 1924 in Floyd, Virginia. And he grew up with his dad was in the lumber business, and he took over the business, made millions at the time, spent it, lost it, wheeled and dealed and made it again. So he pretty much could finance his own racing. It was nowhere near the expense it is today. It still was fairly expensive to do everything he did. Turner was never crowned a champion. A lot of his wins were not sanctioned events. But he destroyed so many cars with his driving style that his total wins of about 350 actually suffered. They said if he wouldn't just take people out for the fun of taking people out, he would want a heck of a lot more. He also holds a couple of records that are never going to be broken. In one season, he won 22 races in the same division with the same car. And it was
no
with the convertible.
No nothing?
Nope, no changes, no nothing.
Wow.
And then he took that car and welded the top on it and won three more in the hardtop class. He was the first driver to climb Pikes Peak in less than 15 minutes. That was in 1962, 63, somewhere in that neighborhood. And here's the one I thought was really good. He's the only driver who won and ever will win a major NASCAR race that was red flag because he was the only car still running, which happened in Asheville, Weaverville, North Carolina.
Well, thanks for bringing that up because, you know, that's something I've even had people ask me, has that ever happened? Well,
yes, it has.
Now
one time, and the red flag because there just wasn't any more cars left, which I'd love to hear the whole story of that race. In the garage.
Did it help, maybe?
What's that?
Did they all have a little bit of help, maybe?
Who knows? That's why I want to hear the background of the story of the race. But anybody who's around in 56 probably won't remember much anymore. In the garage area, his nickname was Pops, but it was not because of the fatherly term that most of us think of Pops, you know. It was the hearing that because that was the noise that you heard when he smacked the quarter panel at the left rear of the car as he tried to put him into the concrete or just get him out of his way. And he would do that to anybody. He didn't care, even his teammate and one of his best friends, Joe Weatherly, which was actually called Little Joe Weatherly at the time. There's a zillion stories about Turner. At one race, he and Lee Petty got into it on the racetrack. And if anybody knows anything about Lee Petty, he was real serious. He was showing up at every race. He was trying to make a living at it. And these two just commenced to beating and a banging on each other throughout the race. Turner won the race, and Petty went home with a busted-up race car. And after the race, just like everybody, Turner had him an adult beverage. He's sitting on a fence, and here come Lee Petty, taking a newspaper, slapping his thigh with it, said, I want to have a word with you. And he commenced to whap him with this newspaper that inside the newspaper was hidden a torque wrench.
Wow.
Knocked him off the fence and really caused some head damage for a while. But from then on, Turner kind of eyeballed Petty and would try to take him out every opportunity that he could.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. Another story around Curtis Turner revolves around Holman Moody, who was a terrific car builder in his own right, and he built and fielded Little Joe Weatherly's cars. Well, the race dictated that Holman Moody's was taking care of both pits at the time in this particular race, and I don't know the circumstances around it, and it really doesn't matter. But Turner was beating on his own teammates, going pounding him, busting him around, moving him out of the way, just beating on him, going down the straightaway. Hey, talk with your hands again. Well,
at least you made a little bit of noise.
Yeah, I got some hands up. Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. But Holman Moody got so mad at him that he told him if you don't stop hitting Little Joe, he ain't going to pit for him. Well, Turner never stopped. So here he comes zooming into the pits, and the pit crew just sat there and looked at him. So he got mad, and he turned around and put the car right in the concrete. I'll show you. And then the next day, Turner shows up at the race shop with a new Cadillac, and drove her right through the overhead door of the race shop, then backed out and drove away. Just destroyed the guy's overhead door because he was still pissed off at him. And these are verified stories. I mean, and they had parties. They made Tim Richmond look like an altar boy. I mean, they would rent a place called the Party Pad down in Daytona, and it would go for days, not hours. And they would actually party till the sun come up and then go to the racetrack either still drunk, hungover, or maybe got an hour's worth of sleep.
You know, I find that stuff amazing. I wish I could have been alive through some of them days and seen some of that. I mean, you know,
that's when men were men.
Yeah, you know? And you look at where racing has gone today, and it's like, oh. God.
Well, you're right about one thing at the beginning of this. You're not doing that in NASCAR today.
Oh, no way. No way. Now, you guys both seen Days of Thunder,
yeah,
I'm assuming?
Yeah.
You know the scene where Cold Trickle and Rowdy Burns bust up a rental car? Well, that really happened between Weatherly and Turner. But the end of the scene isn't two boys pulling up to a restaurant. Turner ended up putting his car in a local swimming pool because he took a wrong turn and zipped into some guy's backyard and pulled it to the... And he got out of the car, and they were racing to a point, betting on a bottle of Canadian Club. Was the whole thing about that?
Well, the whole movie Days of Thunder was based on. Wasn't that supposed to be Humpy Wheeler? That what's his face was based upon?
Terry Hyde.
Yeah,
Terry Hyde.
Yeah,
he was the crew chief side of it. I forget the real driver that they were. I think they just kind of mixed a lot of stories together.
Right.
For the Hollywood side of it, he was also a pilot. If you didn't know that, he would do crazy things like one time he landed on Main
Street.
Curtis
Turner,
you mean? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He landed on Main Street in a downtown Carolina community, got out of the plane, walked into the bar, got him a drink to go, jumped back in the plane, and took back off again. Or he'd do crazy things like shut the motor off, take you for a joyride, shut both motors off and light till you just scream like a little girl, then fire it back up and go again. And unfortunately, he met his demise in an airplane. He flew right into the side of a mountain down in North Carolina.
Side of a what?
Mountain.
Oh, mountain.
The big, great big things that stick out of the ground. They don't move very well. Wasn't big Bill France's best friend all the time. He tried to unionize the drivers and got booted out of NASCAR for a while. And ticket sales sagged, and France invited him back. He came back. Who was it that was with him? One of the Flock brothers, I think Tim Flock was another guy that tried to unionize him. He never did come back and stuff. So Curtis Turner never could do it in NASCAR's politically correct world of today. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you want some more about Curtis Turner, it's all over the internet. You can dig up stories and they'll just make you snicker and smile. And a trip down memory lane, a little nostalgia.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you talk about, you know, the little rivalry between him and Lee Petty, and then you think back and look at Richard and David Pearson. I mean, that's just kind of bizarre how it turns out. Now, granted, I don't think either one of them actually took a wrench and beat the crap out of the other one. But
whapped him with a torque wrench.
Wrapped
in a newspaper. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That way you get close to him and it doesn't look like you got a weapon.
Exactly.
You know? Knock him off the fence.
Wonder if he's got any kin that wants to get into racing, because I could like to see some of that happen again.
Well, I'm sure he does. He was quite a partier and had a lot of girlfriends, and I'm sure there's some kids and some lineage somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah,
so where do you get all your information on this stuff sometimes?
Oh, I don't know. Part of it's...
You got to tell us.
I'll tell you the truth. A lot of it stems from Dad's garage and the stories I heard and the legends that they admired in their day. And, you know, Dad was a racer from like 49 to... Oh, he was still part-time in the late 80s and stuff. And we had a lot of people pass through that garage. Some NASCAR drivers, some ARCA champions, some ASA champions, and a lot of weekend warriors that showed up every week and actually made the race show and stuff. So I got this unique upbringing that probably nobody around here really has. I just start thinking about some of the stories I heard when the guys are out drinking and smoking in the garage when I was a young pup, and look into them and ask a few guys that are still alive, and you just come up, just go from there.
10 seconds, man. What do you each think about testing? You think we're going to see some good bump drafting before it's all over with at the Daytona 500?
I think you're going to see none.
I think you're going to see none. I go back to, you know, they couldn't get within 5 feet of each other. I think you're going to see some slingshot going back on like in the 70s, so...
You got me excited, man. I'm waiting to see that.
I think it's going to be a good race.
All right, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out anytime at Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. We are on Twitter, and you can check us out on, just about anywhere anymore, it seems like. Kenny, you're at Twitter?
Yep, I tweet a lot here lately, KennyBar52.
SpeedTalk2 is where I'm at. Again, got some good stuff coming down. Appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next week, and God knows what's going to happen between now and then, but we'll be talking about it. You are listening to
Speed Talk.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.